Welcome to the Sagebrush Trail. Stories of the West. From the frontier to the Yukon. I'm Mardell. Reading Crossing the Plains, Days of 57, by William Audley Maxwell. Chapter 12, Night Travel. From the sink of the Humboldt, the little Darby party wished to complete the trip by the Carson route, thus separating from the majority. But their supplies were exhausted, and they had now but one ox and one cow to draw their wagon, a suggestion that those who could spare articles of food should divide with the needy was no sooner made than acted upon. Sides of bacon, sacks of flour, and other substantials were piled into their little vehicle, and the owners of the two oxen which had been loaned Darby simply said, "Take them along, you need them more than we do." Danny, alias Gravy Worley, being of that party, showed his delight by sparkling eyes and beaming fat face when he saw the abundance of edibles turned over to his people. Mr. Darby shed genuine tears of gratitude as we bade them goodbye and drove away by another route. The combination train was further divided, each party shaping its farther course according to the location of its final stop. The Drennans took the Carson route, the Maxwell train proceeding by the more northerly Truckee Trail. The associations of the plains, closer cemented by the sharing of many hardships and some pleasures, had created feelings almost equal to kinship, more binding than many, those of a lifelong neighborhood relation. So there were deep regrets at parting. On leaving the sink of the Humboldt, there was before us a wholly desert section, 40 miles wide. The course led southwesterly, over flat, barren lands, with a line of low hills, absolutely devoid of vegetation, on our right. This was known to be one of the hard drives of our long journey. But hearsay knowledge was also to the effect that, at its farther border, we would reach the Truckee River, and soon thereafter ascend the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The prospect of seeing again a river of pure water and fresh green trees had a buoyant effect on our lagging hopes, and these were further stimulated by the information that not long after entering these forest shades, we would cross the state line into California. While crossing the 40 miles of desert, the sun-baked silt at the beginning and later the deep, dry sand made heavy going, to avoid the almost intolerable heat of day as much as possible, and it being known that water was not obtainable during this much-dreaded bit of travel, we deferred the start until mid-afternoon and traveled all night. The impressions of that night ride were most extraordinary. As the sun sank and twilight shaded into night, the atmosphere was filled with a hazy dimness, not merely fog nor smoke, nor yet a pall of suspended dust, but rather what one might expect in a blending of those three. Only a tinge of moonlight from above softened the dull hue. It was not darkness as night usually is dark. It was an impenetrable, opaque narrowing of the horizon and closing in of the heavens above us, which as we advanced constantly shifted its boundary, retaining us still in the center of the great amphitheater of half night. We could see one another, but beyond or above the encompassing veil, all was mystery. Even greater mystery than mere darkness, no moon nor stars visible, nothing visible, but just part of ourselves and ours. As the night merged into morning, the sunlight gradually dispelled the mantle of gloom from our immediate presence, but still we could not see out. As if enclosed in a great moving pavilion, on we went, guided only by the tracks of those who had gone before. In the after part of the night, the loose cattle, having been for 2 nights and a day without water, and instinctively expecting an opportunity to drink, quickened their pace, passing the wagons, the stronger ones outgoing the weaker, till the drove was strung out 2 or 3 miles in length along the sandy trail. Some of the wise heads in the company were fearful that the cattle, on reaching the Truckee River, would drink too much. They detailed Luke Kidd and me to ride on our mules ahead of the foremost of the stock, and on reaching the river permit none of the animals to drink more than a little water at a time. We went ahead during all that long morning, following what was surely to us the longest night that ever happened before or since. Most of the other members of our party were in the wagons, and they, except the driver, slept soundly, rocked gently, very gently, by the slow grinding of the wheels and the soft, deep sand. But Luke and I on our little mules must keep awake, and alert as possible, in readiness to hold back the cattle from taking too much water. From midnight to daybreak seemed a period amounting to an entire days and nights from dawn till sunrise, an epoch from sunrise to the time of reaching the river, as a period that would have no end. As the sun finally rose behind us, the faintest adumbration at the nearest ridges of the Sierras was discerned, in a dim blue scroll across the western horizon, far ahead, how far it was useless to guess, and later, patches of snows about the peaks. The minutes were as hours, and their passing tantalized us, noting how the dim view grew so very slowly into hazy outlines of mountains, and finally of treetops. On we labored, overcoming distance, inch by inch, nodding in our saddles, occasionally dismounting to shake off the almost overpowering grasp of sleep. Half awake, we dreamed of water, green trees, and fragrant flowers. Rising hope anon took the place of long-deferred fruition, and we forgot for a moment how hard the pull was, till with returning consciousness of thirst and painful drowsiness, we saw the landscape ahead presented still another and another line of sand dunes yet to be overcome. Luke and I reached the Truckee at 9 o'clock in the forenoon, just ahead of the vanguard of cattle, and about 3 miles in advance of the foremost wagon. We tried to regulate the cattle's consumption of water, but did not prevent their drinking all they could hold. 10 men on 10 mules could not have stopped one cow from plunging into that river once she got sight of it and remaining as long as she desired. We could not even prevent the mules we rode from rushing into it, that cold, rippling Truckee. Yet our elders had sent us 2 boys to hold back 100 cattle and make them drink in installments and homeopathic doses for their stomach's sake. They dashed into the stream en masse, and seeing the futility of interfering, we gladly joined the cattle in the first good long cool swallow of clear, clean water within a period of 6 weeks. Our little mules did not stop till they reached the middle of the river and stuck their heads, ears and all, under the water. Luke's diminutive snuff-colored beast was so overcome by the sight and feel of water that she lay down in it with him astride, giving herself and her master the first real bath since the time that she did the same thing in the Platte River some 3 months previously. To us, the long-time sun-dried, thirsty immigrants, covered from head to foot with the dust from the Black Hills, overlaid with alkali powder from the Humboldt, veneered with ashes of the desert, all ingrained by weeks of dramatic absorption, rubbed in by the wear of travel, polished by the friction of the wind, to us, said the Truckee, flowing 100 feet wide, transparent, deep, cool, rattling and singing and splashing over the rocks, and the sparkle of its crystal purity, the music of its flow, and the joy of its song repeated, "Come and take a drink." We filled our canteens and went back to meet the others. We found them in a line 3 miles long, and it was well into the afternoon when the last wagon reached the river. The train crossed to the farther shore, into the grateful shade of the pine forest, and there made camp. What an enchanting spectacle was that scene of wooded hills, with its varying lights and shades all about us, from as far as we could see, up the heights and down to the river bank, where their roots were washed in the cool water. The great trees grew. We were still within the confines of Nevada, but 2 men were there with a wagon load of fresh garden stuff brought over from the foothills of California to sell to the immigrants. Potatoes at 50 cents a pound, pickles $8 a keg, and so on. We bought and feasted. The camp that night by the Truckee River was the happiest of all. We had reached a place where green things grew in limitless profusion, where water flowed pure and free, and we were out of the desert and beyond the reach of the savage red man. Join me next time for more Western adventure and Crossing the Plains, Days of 57 by William Audley Maxwell, here on the Sagebrush Trail.